All right. Four.
Check, check.
Three. Two.
I got a temper coming.
Have you guys ever just like gone and started?
No. It's part of our process.
It's not a fucking satellite launch. You know what I mean?
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Welcome to Food News Spring Break. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
Yes.
We are coming to you from stop number two. We're in Malaga, Spain, where you can come this summer directly on a United flight. They're the first and only American carrier which you can take straight here to this very cool city.
You can fly direct from Newark to Malaga on United. Birthplace of Picasso.
We have Picasso.
A Picasso Museum. I'm a big fan of Picasso as well. Right now, we are coming to you from Patios de Beatas, which I hope I said correctly.
Los Patios de Beatas?
Yeah.
It's a great place. And as you can hear, we've got many people around us. It's a real vibe in here.
It is. I'm ready for a five-hour dinner.
You're surrounded by wine right now. So
when you walk in, yes, about? I'm surrounded by wine. And literally, to your right, when you walk in the door, there's a man shaving a huge, gigantic leg of ham. Like, you ever been to a bar in New Orleans where they just have like buckets of beer by the door? It's the Malaga version of that, and I'm here for it.
Side note, my only time like ever having a Jello shot outside of college was when someone just like shot it into my mouth in New Orleans in like an empty bar. I was with Rembert Brown. Anyway,
personal booze news is not top of the pot. I love it.
We're breaking format. Let's get into our stories.
Let's do it.
This is very Spanish related. Rafael Nadal and Cristiano Ronaldo are opening a restaurant together, and it's going to be in Valencia, which I also really want to go to, by the way. It's a coastal city, yes. North of here.
Maybe a different spring break.
Different next year.
Yes, yeah.
There's already one of these in Dubai, and there's also
Dubai, California,
Beverly Hills,
Ibiza,
the big three.
Yep, and Doha. So,
I said Dubai, I meant Doha.
Here's why I love this story for you.
For me.
Because when I read this, I was like, I didn't know these two had ever spoken. And I know you love relationships.
We still don't know that they have, by the
way. They must have.
I don't know.
Well, they're like two of the biggest athletes. I'd say the two biggest.
Well,
Portugal.
Ronaldo's Portuguese.
Portugal, yep.
He no longer plays here in this country.
Good point.
He's currently, who knows where, is Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but like, is that happening right now? I don't know the Saudi Arabia football schedule. The restaurant is called Tatal. I still am not sure that they've actually spoken. I feel like, first of all, I just want personal recommendation, Soy Georgina, which is Ronaldo's girlfriend's television show on Netflix.
What, you watch that?
Yes.
You are a psychopath.
And just based on that show.
Wait, Rafa Nadal's wife's television show. Ronaldo's wife's television show. Is it a reality show about her?
Yes. Soy Georgina. I am Georgina.
Thank you for translating that. First of all, your Spanish is terrible. I'm the only person amongst us that can speak Spanish, and you just translated Soy Georgina for me.
Watch it on Netflix. It's really good.
Not going to do that.
Okay. Well, they're opening this restaurant. If you want to go to it, you can.
So I have a question for you and our audience. If our audience wanted to answer the question, interact with the podcast, what can they do?
They could call +1-646-STEW 138.
Question for you and the audience. One of the things I noticed about this was in part of their presentation at this restaurant and all of the restaurants is live music. Mm. How do you feel about live music in the restaurant while you're dining?
I'm against it, personally.
Really?
Are you asking me right now?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I'm anti.
That's a weird follow-up question. Are you asking me right now? What else am I doing?
Honestly, I got distracted by you posing a question to the audience.
Okay.
I was just like...
What are we doing now?
I was like, I don't really care, actually.
Wow.
I don't.
Okay, everyone listening. Juliet Littman does not care about your opinions.
I like when people call with like their own personal stuff, but like... I don't need like everyone weighing in on this on our voicemail.
Well,
please don't call.
Well, I'm going to weigh in then.
Okay.
There's a certain level and a certain like no lyrics, chill vibes, like jazz quartet, I can
music.
Do with.
That's
I
just like background music.
Yeah, okay. That's what that's the type of live music I want. I don't want someone singing Shout like it's a wedding while I'm like, you know, eating my tapas.
I agree with that. I don't want someone singing. Although, unless you go to like a place, there's this place in like Bel Air that I once went to. It's like a jazz club where like you go for the performance, but then you can't really talk to each other. And like if your food comes
during
it. I'm
here to talk to each other. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, this is like maybe my only social event for the week if I'm going out for dinner. So I would like to chat.
I'm going to do some follow-ups about Ronaldo and Rafa and see if there is a relationship there, because I think there is. There must be.
I don't know. I don't think Ronaldo has a lot of relationships. I just think he's like...
He has one with Georgina.
It's focused on him all the time. Yeah. And like, that's it. And I just think that like Nadal also is not like the most like friendly, I like to have a crew kind of guy.
Okay.
So no shade at either of them really, although Ronaldo probably deserves it. I just don't think that he's like making friends through his business opportunities.
I'm sure the other investors are like, wait, they get how much for how much?
I know. You know
what I mean? It's like, wait a second. We had a completely different valuation when I put my money in.
All right, let's move on. But first, today's episode is brought to you by United Airlines. Whether you want to try huevos rotos in Madrid, shrimp paella in Barcelona, or Papas Arrugadas in Tenerife, Canary Islands, United offers flights to more Spanish cities than any other U.S. airline. Plan your trip today at united.com or on the United app. Remember, flight schedules are subject to change. And now, Domino's.
Mm.
A big story from Domino's and TikTok. Jacoby, would you like to explain what happened in this altercation in Rhode Island?
You know what? Let's just go right to the audio.
My money is time is money for me.
Okay.
Man, you knew a pizza was coming. I just spoke to you. Answer the f***ing door. Call me.
You don't have to call the police.
Thanks. You want to let me lose my job? Do it. Call it.
You should have handled the situation better. Don't
please.
Be coming out of my house yelling at anybody.
Okay. So, I think that I am on the side of the driver.
Really?
Yeah. She's right. Money is time. Also, a lot of these places, you get like bonuses for being fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's...
She mentioned that.
Yeah. When that's in play, you do need to move along. And I don't understand. I don't know, like, what is the excuse for not coming to the door for 15 minutes?
It's kind of, okay. Let me just first take this for a second.
Okay.
It's not what you do. It's how you do it.
Okay.
The driver was livid. Absolutely livid. Like it was
screaming.
The way that she expressed her disappointment was out of pocket. It was just too much for me. She was screaming at the customers for not coming to the door for 15 minutes. I think in her position, you can mention it. You can mention your disappointment, but screaming at them and berating them, I think is a bit too much. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I agree.
Are you still on the driver's side?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am. Yeah, I agree how the message was delivered was poor. But she's right. Like, this is, like, inexplicable.
Food news follow-up.
Why did she wait?
Why did you come to the door?
Oh, I was going to say, why did she wait? Just fucking leave the pizza.
I guess. Like drop the pizza on like it's an Amazon package?
Yeah, take a picture. Prove it's there.
I like that.
I don't know why she waited.
So,
Want a tip, maybe?
I take long poops, right? But I would hear the door. I mean, I just can't think of what they're doing for 15 minutes.
That's why I'm so on the driver's side. Like, this is inexplicable.
15 minutes is a long time. And one key point from the audio is that they spoke 2 minutes before she arrived. And she's like, I will be there in 2 minutes. So it's not like, oh, we forgot we ordered a pizza or someone else in the house ordered a pizza.
It's also the middle of the day. It's not like late at night when like, you're drunk and fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's not one of those situations. I think there is... While we can disapprove of how the driver expressed how she was feeling, which we do, there's no excuse for waiting 17 minutes to be ready to receive your pizza that you know is coming to you.
And there was no explanation given.
None.
If someone was berating
me in that manner,
I would be like, I fell asleep. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the door. Knock louder. I would have explained myself.
I just want to be clear. If I was yelled at like that, I would be crying. So like,
are you serious?
Yeah, I hate being yelled at. Like, hate.
Really?
I get really upset.
Should I test this at some point?
I'd rather you didn't.
I can't imagine a scenario in which I'm so upset with you that I yell at you.
I really hate being yelled at.
Oh,
so,
man.
So it would be like very upsetting for me.
That also sucks. I hate being mad and crying at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you want to show strength.
And also,
but you're crying.
Also, it's just like, which emotion should you lean into? Which is more powerful, your anger or your sadness?
Yes.
Usually, I feel very angry and then I move on to sadness. But anyway, let's move on to another
story. It's like the Neapolitan ice cream of emotion that you're presenting for us.
Let's move on. Hershey's. They're introducing vegan peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's not already vegan. And then it didn't even occur to me that there's milk in the milk chocolate. And they're replacing milk with oats.
That's the part that gets me. Oat milk. If they were like, okay, they just said oats. They didn't say oat milk in the article, which is where I got confused. It must be oat milk, right?
It has to be like oat puree.
Do you know why this worked for me? We actually have taste tested low sugar Reese's Pieces, and they were pretty good.
They're good.
Do you know what
got
me? They
were cups, not pieces.
Good point.
I hate pieces, so I wouldn't.
We've discussed.
Yeah.
And you're wrong. But do you know what really got me in this article? Is the picture looks pretty good.
Yeah,
like, I was hungry when I read it, and I was like, it looks like a Reese's Pieces, Reese's cup, whatever the hell we're talking about.
Reese's cup.
Cups,
it's really important that you acknowledge
you made
the difference.
A very serious face. Well, I want our audience to just know that Juliet made a very serious face, and now she's crying because she's so angry.
Here's why. No, I don't cry when I'm angry.
Okay,
I cry when I'm yelled at.
Sorry.
Here's why, though. The point of this is it's about the milk chocolate, and so with Reese's Pieces, this might be irrelevant. And so it's like I don't know the ingredients. This is specifically about the chocolate. Anyway, I think it works because oat milk is already very creamy.
Yeah.
And so I think it'll be good. I don't dislike oat milk. Like, it's fine.
I'm gonna say that's my preferred non-milk.
Yes, but I'm also just I prefer milk.
It's
been a really long time on this planet with milk.
Yes, milk works.
I think there's other ways for us to be ecologically friendly and go green.
You know, I didn't really like even think about this. You know who's taking L after L? Soy milk. Soy milk used to be like the only alternative. And now it's like the lowest on my power rankings of milks.
I prefer it to almond milk, but it's like there's all these like urban legends about like it being bad for women and like their fertility.
And men.
Yeah. Like soy milk is just like, it's out. But people have so much soy, it's ridiculous. Like, edamame, tofu.
I've told you my soy take before, right?
What, that it's good?
Like, if you have edamame, they're like, that's a soybean. I'm like, you're telling me that you get soy sauce, which is black and watery, and soy milk, and you can, like, make clothes out of this. I just don't believe it is that. And tofu.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe it is that
it's
dynamic
crop,
of a bean. Yeah.
I think
I'm calling bullshit on soy.
One thing that you've started doing that's really weird is taking scientific facts and being like, no, I don't believe it.
This is how we do media in the 21st century.
I do not.
Question
I respect
everything.
Soy. It's just a weird thing you're doing. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Shall we talk about Skittles? Just start on the topic of candy.
See, Skittles is the Trojan horse for the real, like, what's really going on in this story.
So California is threatening. I don't think this will happen, but they are threatening to ban several sweets, including Skittles, and more crucially, except for Dwight Howard, who's probably paying close attention to the Skittles.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Well, it's not just ice cream. There's multiple chemicals in which they're saying that are not good for you. Many that you've never heard of. You don't have to read them all. There's okay, go.
Red dye number 3, titanium dioxide, potassium bromate, brominated vegetable oil, and propyl paraben. That's like a lot. And yeah, I've never seen any
of
those.
And they're in a lot of different products.
Red dye number 3, I understand.
Ice cream
else?
Is like, I would, honestly, you could have scientific proof, which I do believe in, thank you very much, that this is bad for you. And if it's in ice cream, I'm still going to eat it.
I mean, again, these are things that people have been eating for a long time. I need to know if they're new. Like, were we making ice cream with this 20 years ago? Like, when was this introduced?
Good point.
Because if it's different, then maybe I'll have an opinion. But right now, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to continue having ice cream.
My favorite thing about this article was all of these chemicals are now available to be bought and sold and in the marketplace because of a concept called GRAS, GRAS, which is generally regarded as safe.
Generally regarded.
It just made me think that we could have...
This is the time for you to call bullshit.
Yes. I apply that to many things in my life. It's like it's generally regarded as safe.
Yeah.
Like driving
crossing as a light.
Bungee jumping.
Is that regarded as safe?
Generally.
Okay.
You can do it.
It's accepted.
When we were in Tenerife, all that paragliding that everybody was doing, flying
we
over...
We do not accept that as safe.
That is not accepted. Yes. Generally accepted as safe. Food news not accepted as safe.
It is just, I need more evidence.
Trampoline park, generally accepted as safe.
Probably not.
Regarded as
definitely
safe.
Not safe.
Trampoline park?
Yeah, I've never been.
Okay.
But I just know trampolines are dangerous.
Okay.
I don't like Skittles. I just want to throw that out there. So
what?
I was like, Skittles, fine.
You don't like Skittles?
No chocolate.
Miss sweets?
No chocolate, no interest.
You're the sweet king. You're the dessert queen.
With candy, I like chocolate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no chocolate, no interest.
That's why you don't like Reese's Pieces.
Yes. I've only said that to you every time it's come up.
But you're still wrong.
Okay. All right, local news.
Malaga?
Malaga. There's some evidence that they've been producing wine here for 6,000 years. It is the year 2023. So as we discussed previously, it's 4,000 BC.
Yes.
It's crazy. There's been 4 years of research at the University of Seville that has basically found these large Neolithic vessels in the Menga Dolmen, which is part of Malaga.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying Malaga because I think I heard that on a British TV show one time.
Malaga.
But Malaga. Anyway, 6,000 years of wine. And that's probably why you're surrounded by wine right now.
Yes, I am. And
literally,
it's glorious.
There's still a lot of wine bottles behind
you.
Ham and
wine. I am surrounded by ham and wine, and I couldn't be happier. So here's my question for you. Is anyone who's been to like Napa or a winery, I really go there just for the sampling, but they give you the whole like walk through the cave and the process. It's a pretty complicated process.
It takes a long time. Maybe it's why it's been 6,000 years.
Isn't, like 6,000 years ago, like how did they didn't have those... Did they have the barrels? Did they have the caves? Did they have those big tanks? Did they
That's
have
great,
these?
Well, they did have barrels, apparently. They have these vessels that I think were like barrels.
Okay.
So they did have that piece of it. But it was in a burial mound. So it's also always been, like, I think, ritualistic and, like, part of sacred ceremonies as, it's, as it, contain, it remains today.
Yeah. Weddings.
They dated it on as 3800 BC. That's, like, a really long time. I just want to be clear about that. 6,000 years.
6,000 years is a long time.
They definitely were not using red dye number 3 when they were making wine here 6,000 years dioxide. Ago.
No titanium dioxide in the wine back then. I feel like they also. I feel like wine was discovered by mistake by many different societies, and then they just like went with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably true of like fermentation in general, right? Yeah. Where like it happened, you're like, huh, should I do more of this?
You're like, this smells terrible, but let me give it a try.
Tastes good. Yeah. And then, and then there's like fermentation is the whole thing. Okay. A little bit more local news, more local to last week when we were in Tenerife, but the Canary Islands, they really like avocado there.
Yes.
But.
We saw some avocados on the farm.
We did. And it looked great. Calabacera, check it out if you ever go to Tenerife. It was awesome. The Canary Islands can only produce, though they love avocado and eat almost as much as they do in Mexico.
Well, they have
per person.
Per capita avocado consumption is the same as Mexico. And that's probably got to be the two highest per capita avocado
probably.
Consumption.
However, their production is just not high enough because this article, the focus of it is that Americans on the day of the Super Bowl have 10 times what they could make, what the Canary Islands can make in a year. And it just shows you the tonnage and the importance of the Super Bowl.
This is really the American Super Bowl final, which I thought was hilarious too.
This is ultimate 131,000 tons on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
The Super Bowl is America's only national holiday. I just want to throw that out there. It's like the only thing that I feel like it's like truly American where people are like, we're all participating in this. Just stop what you're doing. Watch it on TV.
Yes.
Because, like, I even feel like with July 4th, it's not even the same thing.
Yeah,
it's the most, I feel like...
Most bought into holiday.
Yeah, people are just, and part of that...
Or, like, a default setting. Like, my wife does not know any football players by name.
Right, you're like, oh, it's Super Bowl.
But it's Super Bowl Sunday, I'm going to watch it.
Oh,
Rihanna commercials.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was really interesting. And they want to have their own American football final to get people to eat.
That's what they said.
The
spokesperson for Tenerife avocado production was like, I don't think we need like a holiday to like boost consumption of avocado, but this is notable how much avocado those Americans are eating. And
seriously.
They're like, I think it's all guacamole.
It is. It's like all guac and like maybe like a 7 bean dip.
No one's having like a bacon, lettuce, tomato, avocado.
Guac is great.
Guac is amazing.
Who can disagree with that? But on that note, we're introducing a new segment today, everybody.
What's that?
Food fight.
Food fight.
We honestly have had a lot of tension. We've been spending a lot of time together.
Yep.
And there's been some key disagreements, like whether or not we believe in soybeans.
I believe in soybeans.
Well, you don't believe in all their uses.
I believe that there's some...
You've got questions about soybeans.
There's a wizard behind the curtain that's not what's being presented to us.
So you think there's like big soy?
Yes. Yes. This is I'm going to dig into this controversy. Follow-up.
We have found that we disagree on a lot of different things. And so today we are going to make the case for and against one specific thing we've been arguing about, and we will come back to this as we progress. Today, we begin with olive oil. Good?
Okay.
Or bad? Jacoby, you go first.
It is commonplace here that they will give you some bread before your meal, and they will pour some olive oil onto a plate.
It's also commonplace at like a lot of restaurants.
Most Italian restaurants or whatever, right?
And I think Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And some Greek.
Yes.
I
where olives are popular.
Yeah.
Yes.
As we know from Whole Foods dividing the olive oil up by region now, it's very annoying.
So I just, you're leading the witness here because, like, yeah, I believe in olive oil. I think olive oil is good. I think that you should cook with olive oil. However, given the opportunity to either spread butter on my bread or have olive oil, I will go for butter 100 times out of 100. Also, when I dip my bread in olive oil, I like to put a ton of Parmesan cheese in there, a ton of herbs in there, and a ton of, like, crushed pepper in there.
What you're saying,
olive oil by itself is just not that good.
So you're saying that olive oil is always a base for you.
I need to do something with it.
You need to build on top of it, whether it's tons of cheese or cooking or deep frying or whatever.
It needs other complementary elements besides just the olive oil itself, even when you're in this region where it is produced and it is, like, distinct and good.
Okay. I was annoyed with Whole Foods for, like, making me decide what kind of olive oil I wanted. Italian, Greek, Spanish,
whatever.
You
were annoyed with them.
Yeah. I think I brought this up a weird number of times. No one yelled at me. Okay. It's not that emotional. I don't like being yelled at.
Okay, got it.
The way that I'm sort of yelling at you right now.
I deserve it.
I was like, why do I have to choose? But now, having been here, we've been served different kinds of olive oil, like, mm-hmm. multiple times. Mm-hmm. First of all, I always enjoy it because I just like bread, honestly. So I'm like, great. The reason to stuff bread in my mouth. But you do get different, like, viscosities and different, like tasting notes. Like, I feel like for the first time, I understand that it can be tasted like wine. Like, and I would rather do an olive oil tasting than a wine tasting because I really enjoy it as, like, trying to understand the nuances.
Okay. I don't disagree that they do taste different. But my stance is they all don't taste that good. So just because there's a variety of different flavors doesn't mean those flavors are good.
Okay, follow up. Do you like olives?
No.
Me neither, but I do really like olive oil. But that makes a lot more sense if you also don't like olives. I'm like, why don't I like olives? I think this is too salty for me. I like to do a separate sprinkling of salt, flaky salt.
I had some olives, and our producer Mike was around the table. He was walking by.
Ten minutes.
I was like, try these olives. I don't like olives, but these are pretty good. I was also hungry, so, like, any sort of food will work. He basically wanted to spit it out the second it went into his mouth. So Food News Spring Break crew is not a pro olive crew, but only you are pro olive oil.
I love olive oil. Mike's pro olive oil too. The other thing we've learned is that Mike and I like the same things food wise and you do not.
All right. Yeah.
All right. On that note, let's get into our taste test.
Let's do it.
All right. For our taste test, we are having tuna lasagna.
Now,
Jacoby.
There was a discussion about this dish. Before we got to Malaga, we looked at the list of things that we'd be eating, and tuna lasagna was on the list. Now, everyone listening to this has the same vision in their head as we did when we saw it there.
Yeah, like the noodles from the grocery store.
Red sauce.
And then tuna fish from the can.
Maybe cooked, maybe not cooked.
Maybe like fresh
maybe
tuna,
some mayonnaise in there. Yeah,
something.
Who knows?
Just basically a regular lasagna, but instead of beef, it was tuna fish. It sounded fucking gross.
I have to say that when she came over, I was like, oh.
Well, we actually have in front of us two wontons, and in between is like a bolognese made with tuna.
Yes, and it looks
fantastic.
And
some queso on top of it. And it looks so good that you almost started eating before.
Yes, we were recording.
It was time.
Because
I'm going
you know
in for a bite.
I love a crunch and mush combo. And
we
this
know
is
that
one of the
you.
Crunchiest and mushiest things I've ever seen in my life.
I'm really excited
and
about
it. The bolognese looks like bolognese.
I'm going to take my bite. I just want to tell you.
Please do.
I'm excited about the queso on it. I love queso.
Yes. I believe it's some sort of goat's milk queso, but it looks fantastic.
Oh my God.
The bolognese looks like regular bolognese.
Holy shit, so good. Interesting.
So, I want to take my bite.
The texture is a little bit different than you get with beef, obviously, but it just tastes like a really good bolognese, but lighter because it's tuna and not beef. Wow. It was really good.
It's got like a taco flavor to it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is really interesting.
You always know Juliet likes a taste test when she goes for bite number two immediately. We're recording a podcast right now, okay?
I'm really sorry. I want more.
You can eat the rest later. This is a huge Juliet thing. It's like, you can always tell if she just goes immediately back because she's on autopilot. It tastes like a little bit of spice, like a spicy bolognese.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you made taco meat and then made bolognese out of that.
The crunch aspect's really good. Question.
Yes.
Why do they call this lasagna? It's not lasagna.
It's almost like like I like in all my professional things to keep expectations as low as possible. So I think they call it lasagna to give you an okie doke.
But like we were given a menu. We were like, okay, cool. Like we're having what they tell us.
Yes.
If I was coming here, I wouldn't necessarily order this.
I might order it as a bit. I'd be like, we have to find out about this.
What is it? Is it good? Exactly. It's like instead of like a table burger, a table, table tuna lasagna.
Yes.
And you would be happy because it's really delicious.
Absolutely fantastic.
But I'm just not sure they should call it lasagna. But maybe the Spanish people have a different connotation with lasagna.
No, this is these are fried wontons and bolognese in between.
Which also, like, why isn't that a thing?
Great point.
Fried wontons. Let's get that involved with way more things.
Yes. And I also, when I saw it at first, I thought it would be like a tuna tartare.
Yeah.
Sort of like classic, which I've actually seen people eating because when you're in Malaga, you just see other people's tables because they're all outside just chilling and eating slowly.
Yeah.
But it's not a tuna tartare at all. It is very much a bolognese and it is fantastic.
Everything we've had so far at Los Patios de Beatas.
Great work.
Has been delicious.
And this is the most delicious.
I can't wait to have more.
I can see you staring at it right now. Julia's just staring at the tuna lasagna being like, let's wrap up this podcast so I can eat the tuna lasagna.
Should we get into our personal food news?
Yes, we should, but we're breaking format again.
Okay.
You're going first. I'm going
first. Can I have another bite?
No.
Okay, fine. Okay. Keep going.
Yes. One of the things we decided, I was like, you know what? There's McDonald's everywhere. It's like the last thing I want to do when I'm going to these exotic places is go to McDonald's. But the thing about exotic places with McDonald's,
not always the same.
They have exotic menus.
Yeah.
So I went in there and I was like, let me just see if there's something that would be exciting to me to order.
Question.
Yes.
Did you have to use a touchscreen to order?
Yes.
That
absolutely.
Seems to be everywhere here in Spain.
Absolutely, yes.
Like, it was in the Tenerife airport.
It's much like my Starbucks experience no longer involves human beings.
Neither does McDonald's.
McDonald's in Europe does not involve human beings.
It's not like that yet in the States, right?
No.
Probably they have
touchscreens because I have a bunch of kids that go to McDonald's more than you, but it's an option whether or not you want to use a touchscreen or order from a person. There's no option
here.
It's not a must. Okay. If you are going to walk out with food, you're going to use the touchscreen.
Gotcha.
And it was very convenient. So I saw on the menu normal stuff, burgers, fries, signature Benedicte burger. And I was like, no, it's not. They don't have, no. Like this, it's not like eggs Benedict and a burger together at once. It's eggs Benedict and a burger together at once.
Is it a poached egg or a fried egg?
It is a fried egg.
Okay.
And it is hollandaise sauce.
How was the hollandaise?
You know.
Okay.
And then Gouda cheese.
Ooh.
And crispy onions.
This all sounds not good. However, add crispy onions to anything, and I'm in.
The crispy onions, which came in my Caesar salad earlier today, crispy onions should be a thing in this dance.
They're so good.
It's like bacon bits. It's bacon bits,
them.
But not bacon.
It's better. Much better.
It comes in that bacon bits crumbles. They're like little tiny crumbles. So I was hungry. I ordered this thing. I looked at it. You'll never believe this. The picture on the screen is very different than the product that they give you.
What?
And it also came in a McDonald's signature box. So it's almost like Test Kitchen.
This is also sounds hard to, like McDonald's is a walking food. Sounds hard to eat and walk with this.
Well, I sat down. McDonald's is not a walking food, by the way. I don't know where that came from.
I wouldn't want to spend time in McDonald's. That's where it came from.
Take it home. Take it to your car. McDonald's is not a walking food.
I just want to minimize my time inside McDonald's.
I understand that feeling because there's like that feel in the air and the smell.
Yeah.
Like the grease is just
kind
of everywhere.
Remember me in the elevator when it smelled like burgers?
Yes, I couldn't handle it. But the idea that you're walking down the street with fries in one hand, a burger in the other with like a milkshake tucked under your arm. It's just kind of insane. But moving on, I sat down outside, people watching, everybody walking by, very Malaga of me.
Beautiful streets here in Malaga.
Beautiful streets, yes.
Where you also can drive
on all
of them. You can
drive on the sidewalks,
I will be posting a video of this because it's so weird.
A ton of alley / street / sidewalk. I don't know. Everyone knows how to differentiate between the three. There's no lines or signs, though.
It's so confusing. Anyway.
I'm surprised 3 dozen people don't get run over here every day.
I know. I was late to dinner because I paused to try to take as many videos as possible. Cars driving
on the sidewalk /
and everyone
alley.
Just like going about their business.
Not batting an eyelash. Here's what, long story short, it tasted fine. It didn't gross me out because I was hungry. It's just like McDonald's goop. But when you ask how the hollandaise is, it just blends in with the Gouda and the burger and whatever.
It sounds so disgusting.
It was pretty gross. But I took 2 bites because I didn't want to ruin my appetite for this delicious dinner of tuna lasagna and other things.
You just wanted an amuse-bouche of your Benedict burger.
I just wanted some personal food news. But follow up, I was like, I saw a homeless man around the corner on my way to McDonald's, and I was like, I've got this food. Let me just give it to him. So I put it back in the box. The box looks nice. And I gave it to him. And my question is walking away was like, did he open that box, see a half-eaten Benedict burger from McDonald's and be like, I'm good?
Here's the other thing. Well, here's the flip side of that. Whether it tastes good or not, it's a lot of protein.
2 minutes.
And if it's hard for you to get your next meal,
yeah,
it's pretty great. So there's that. Was he disappointed? Probably.
But I was
he probably just wanted a happy meal.
I was going to go around the corner and do this Good Samaritan thing and give it to him. But by the time I got to him around the corner, he already had a sandwich that he was eating.
Nice.
Like, you know those little triangle sandwiches? Yes. Yeah, very much so. He was counting his change. Oh. But it was like, I was like, oh, he's already got a meal. I don't know how welcome this half-eaten burger is going to be for him. But he was very appreciative. So that is my Malaga personal food news.
Wow. That's a good one. Mine is from the airport in Tenerife, mm-hmm. where we had a lovely meal.
Yeah.
And it was a lengthy meal. And many people came and left while we were eating before we got on our flight.
Which is, tell people, it's 1:30 at this point.
1:30 p.m., yeah.
Yeah.
This couple sits down, they order their lunch. Mm-hmm. We had like some potato, we had patatas.
We had some ham. I had a salad.
Yeah, it was tapas. Like it was tapas. We were grazing, waiting for our flight. This couple behind us ordered like two.
No, they
like,
ordered food and the server walks away.
Yeah. And then, but they get, what they order are these like 8 ounce each.
Eight? No way.
More?
16 ounce steaks.
That were like super rare.
I don't even know if they were cooked. Like, it looked like something you would feed a lion at the zoo. That's what it looked like.
I feel like sending food back outside of America is like very rare. I just feel like all the Americans do that.
I just like that you feel that. You have no evidence. It's just a feeling that you get. Yeah, okay.
I am to this feeling as you are to soy.
Okay.
And so they send it back. It's barely cooked a little bit more. And then they fucking down these steaks.
Killed it.
In like, what, 7 minutes?
If I was at like Smith and Walensky's planning a steak dinner with my boys and they brought me that steak on a plate, I would look at it and be like, that's a lot of steak. I don't know if I can handle that. But 1:30 before a flight?
I know.
It's like bright and sunny.
I have two theories. One, they go together. One, they're worried about being late, so they're like, we got to eat really fast.
Okay.
And two, like some of our listeners, like the person who had the Popeyes and never took it out of their backpack, they were really worried about having, oh shit, they're really, I gotta finish my personal food news. They're really worried about the scent on the plane. So they're like, we gotta eat our steaks really quickly.
We can't bring that on the plane. If you sat down next to me and just broke out that steak, I might like push the button and ask to move, honestly.
It was
wild performance because you didn't have a great view of it. So I was like, whatever you said to me, I was not listening to. I was just staring at these two eat a steak.
And the plates, like 50s. The plates they left behind were like
empty.
Yeah. It was just like steak juice. And that was it. It was gross.
Yes. And then as we were on our way out, two more people ordered that same thing.
Maybe they're known for it. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just a wild airport order.
If I ordered like a roast beef sandwich, I'd be like, that might be a little heavy for lunch. But they had like 20 ounce rare steaks.
And I would never fucking order that in like random tapas place in the airport.
And if you had a super raw steak and you were like, hey, can you cook this some more? She brought it back like raw. You know what I mean? It was like, it was wild.
So insane.
We need to do a food news follow up on them. I'm
going
to find those
people. We got to track them down.
There's like got to be cameras in that airport.
Some kind of forensic story.
Let's get the FBI involved.
Oh man. Well, we got to finish this lasagna, so
we got to go.
Thanks to our producer, Mike Wargon. Thank you to Los Patios de Beatas for having us. Thank you to United, who can fly you direct to Malaga if you want to come this summer. And if you're in the United States, that is. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. Third location, we're going to Mallorca.
Yes.
Today's episode was brought to you by United Airlines, with flights to Barcelona, Madrid, Mallorca, Tenerife, Canary Islands, and new nonstop service to Malaga. It's now easier than ever to plan a culinary tour across Spain. Plan your trip today at united.com. Remember, flight schedules are subject to change.